hope you're ready to hear from the most organic guy around. Here he is, landscape architect, arborist, author, columnist for the Dallas Morning News, and my dad, the dirt doctor, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome back, everybody. Telephone number to be with us is 866-444-3478. We're going to go right back to the phone lines because it's jammed up, but I did want to work in something that I wasn't able to get in the first 2 hours, and that is some information about a little bit more information about fertilizing. We are doing a school now, a class, a natural organic certification course that's going to be available here and now probably the second quarter of this year. I talked about it in the first of the show. It's going to be being done by the Texas Organic Research Center, our not-for-profit organization, and made available to people to take. It's going to have 14 or 15 chapters. I might have just expanded it to 15 yesterday and today to have more time to talk about all the different insect issues. I've got so much information I want to add to it on insects. I think it's going to need one more chapter, and so the chapters aren't too long. But one of the things that I'm taping tomorrow, I believe it's tomorrow, is the next chapter, the sixth chapter, and it's on fertilization. And one of the things we're talking about in organic fertilization are the myths and the misconceptions and just the bad information that's out there about fertilizing and how plants deal with fertilizer and all that kind of thing. And not only will I be talking about this stuff in great detail, we're going to have a lot of photographs, some of the photographs coming out of some books where I've learned a lot that have not only descriptions of things that are not well known, but scanning electron microscopic photographs of some of these things. And one of them is the misconception that pH is a big deal. pH is not a big deal in most cases. There are a few, very few plants that have a real tight tolerance for pH. You know, blueberries are one of them, and there's a few other plants as well. But most plants, the pH is not a controlling factor. It's a resulting factor. When you have a good, healthy soil, which we explain how to do with the addition of compost, rock minerals, and sugars into native soil, the pH tends to go to that point where it's pretty good or real good for most plants, you know, somewhere at the surface of the soil being just under 7. And even if you start in a high pH soil like we have here in a whole lot of Texas where the pH is up around 8 or even higher, we don't get that carried away with pH in a lot of cases, except with a very few specific plants, and we'll talk about those issues. The other thing is that there's this inane argument that a plant can't tell the difference between a synthetic and an organic fertilizer. And nothing can be further from the truth. A plant can tell the difference. The soil can tell the difference. The microorganisms in the soil can especially tell the difference. The synthetic fertilizers, the high nitrogen fertilizers, and you look at that bag and there's just three numbers on the bag, you know, and if it's 24, 8, 16 or something like that, that's the nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. A lot of them that are being recommended now are nitrogen only, which is even worse. 24-00 is a nitrogen only fertilizer. And there's the argument from the chemical side that those are the only elements that you need because that's what was that was the theory that came up by Eustace von Liebig, you know, years and years ago. It was bought into by everybody, and that's what started being taught in the universities, that nitrogen, potassium, phosphorus and potassium were the only things you really needed to worry about. The dirty little secret related to that is that Eustace von Liebig recounted it just before he died, that he was totally wrong, that he had completely underestimated the importance of organic matter and carbon being part of the fertility system. And that's the main missing element in synthetic fertilizer. They're salts to begin with, which is not good. It's not good for mycorrhizae, mycorrhizal fungus in the ground, and not good for the health of the soil long term at all. But the other thing is that the synthetic fertilizers are missing carbon. Well, carbon is the energy source for the microbes in the soil, extremely important. So one thing we're going to, and I just wanted to cover that because I've been not getting around to it now for 2 hours. In the class that we're going to cover, we're going to cover why the NPK numbers are the way they are in the organic program and why we don't recommend the way they are in the chemical fertilizers, about pH and about how nutrients get into plants. So these same people will argue that a plant can only accept nutrients in basic element form, in ion form. That's a lie. It's a simple lie. And that's one of the things where we will have photographs showing how plant cells can engulf entire gigantic molecules and even entire bacteria and how that whole system works. There are books written on it, and we have photographs of the books and from the books and all that kind of thing. And so that's going to be one of the parts of the school, is learning that fertility side of the issue. Okie dokie, back to Shirley. Sorry about the delay, Shirley, but now we won't be rushed about your dogwood trees. You planted some little new dogwoods. Is that where the story was going?
Right. That's about 6 years ago, five and a half, 6 years ago. It was in the spring, so probably 6 years. Anyway, they've grown decently. They look healthy, and there's tons of dogwoods around here, so I'm sure the soil is correct for them. But they never have bloomed in all this time, and they were blooming when I bought them.
Okay.
So I would have thought they were mature enough to bloom, but they have never bloomed in all this time. And then in the summertime, they get dry really bad. They get really, really limp. I'm still having to water them, and I know normal dogwoods you don't have to water after this long of a time.
Did you plant them yourself?
Yes.
Do they come out of containers? All right. And so when you planted them, you put them in the ground, were they nice and wet and saturated the root ball before they went in the ground?
Well, I couldn't swear to it because it's been a while ago. I have slept since then.
All right.
But I almost, without exception, will water before I transplant anything. So I can be reasonably sure they were.
Well, most people skip this step, is the reason I bring it up, Shirley, and I've done it myself. I mean, I've gotten in a hurry, pulled a plant out of a container, stuck it in the ground, and then thought I could water enough to flood the area and get the water to go inside the root ball. If the truth is, and this is a definite thing, if you put a dry or relatively dry root ball of a plant in the ground, backfill it, you've planted it, and then you think you're going to water, and the soil, the water will be able to enter that root ball, it's just never going to happen. And that's
really?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like happened with your case, because that would explain all the symptoms that you're seeing. It would explain the plant not flowering. It would explain the quick drooping of the leaves and looking like it needs more water. And the reason is the water is just hitting the outside edge. That ball is probably what's going on. How tall are the trees now?
I'm going to guess maybe 8-10 feet.
And how many years have they been there?
It's been about 6 years this spring, I'd say. Yeah.
I would do an experiment. I'd take the smallest one of them and pull it out of the ground right now. And I would see if what I'm saying is true. You can run some You can run a probe into the ball and see, but I bet you anything that they haven't, the roots haven't gone out of that ball. You could dig down beside it and look at it without pulling the ball all the way out of the ground is one thing that you could do. Okay. And if that is the case, you soak it in a wash tub of water for 2 or 3 hours, get it totally saturated before it goes back in the ground. And getting that moisture into the ball, I think, is a critical key here. With some Garrett juice mixed with it is even better. I'm going to put you on hold once more, and I'll talk to you off the air this time. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, and I'll be back right after this. Recovery Nutrition is not only about food, but also about proper hydration. High-quality water is mineral-dense and not processed for the greatest amount of nutrient absorption and a more speedy recovery. Crazy Water naturally contains over 11 minerals and electrolytes. Nothing is added. Crazy Water is so good, it's crazy. Get some today at Whole Foods, Central Market, HEB, Kroger, Brookshire's, Albertsons, and other crazy good stores. Go to drinkcrazywater.com to find a store in your area.
The future of holistic health is here. Possessing the power to maintain wellness at the cellular level, RegActive is a revolutionary and remarkable new supplement that will transform the future of preventative and restorative health. RegActive features the innovative probiotic strain ME3, a patented probiotic with over 20 years of research proven to naturally stimulate and produce glutathione, the body's master antioxidant. Glutathione is used by all of our cells, especially in the fight against free radicals, environmental toxins, and the effects of aging. Our levels of glutathione decrease dramatically as we age, leaving us very vulnerable to age-related health issues. Revolutionary, remarkable, RegActive. RegActive is from Essential Formulas, renowned for introducing Dr. O'Hara's probiotics to the United States 15 years ago. Look for RegActive at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide where Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are sold.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on the effectiveness of natural organic gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's programs works better, saves money, and helps us to enjoy healthier lives. We need your support. Go to TexasOrganicResearchCenter.org to donate. Stop the broad-scale use of toxic chemical pesticides and fertilizers. Donate at TexasOrganicResearchCenter.org today. That's TexasOrganicResearchCenter.org. Again, TexasOrganicResearchCenter.org.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to DirtDoctor.com.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
I'm always working to find new and better organic products. One of the companies that helps me in that regard is the Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas. They've been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building longer than anybody in the business. Medina produces fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulations that work by stimulating the soil biology to help all crops. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Medina has the products to help you budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right. There's a new prilled organic fertilizer called Growing Green Premium Lawn Food that I recommend you try. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is also made by Medina, and it's available in all sizes, quarts, gallons, barrels, and even large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website's MedinaAg.com. You'll find the Medina label at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell organic products.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com.
Okay, Howard, back with you. Shirley and I had an interesting conversation. I think we got to the bottom of her dogwoods not blooming well and wilting quicker. My first thought was that the root ball was probably dry going in when it was planted and then never was able to accept water. And I think that still is part of the puzzle. But I asked her if the flare was exposed, and she knew that the plants weren't planted too deeply. And she said, well, I know they're not planted too deeply. I planted them myself. I said, well, can you see a flare on the top? She went out and looked at it. She said, no, it's coming out of the ground just like you said, just like a stick straight. And I said, well, it's too deep in the ground. They're probably 3-4 inches, maybe more, too deep. And they were that too deep in the pot that she bought before it was planted. That's the huge problem that we're seeing in the tree growing industry, is that these growers are growing plants way, way too deep in the soil. And it comes from trying to keep them growing real straight up and some other things, and just making mistakes and being not as careful about the flare, I guess, in other cases. But you'll see that most of the trees coming from the growers and going through the garden centers are too deep in the containers. So her solution was a recommended, and this will be, won't be just be her. Almost everybody out there has this situation. I have in my own garden. You first go down, pull the soil away from the base of the plants on relatively small trees. You can do it by hand. You can do it with a stiff brush. I use a horse brush. It worked great. You have a little moisture in the soil. You can use hand tools at first to get the bulk of the soil away. If you do it very carefully, being careful not to injure the trunk and the flare, and you're going to, as you go down, you're going to probably see a couple of things. You're going to see hopefully the flare start to be visible. You're probably also going to see roots that are trying to grow up to oxygen. You prune those off. You prune those away. You're probably going to see, if it was in a plastic container, roots that are going around in a circle. They went out and hit the wall of the pot and started circling. So you want to go down until you expose all that. The circling roots, you want to prune them away. The ones growing up, the bird's nest roots, you want to prune them away. And then you want to take a probe of some kind. I told her that you can use a golf club with the head broken off, or any kind of a a probe that you might have around the place. Golf club is really great. And if you don't play golf, you can go to a pawn shop and buy one for 50 cents. Probe into the ball, down into that root ball. You're probably going to be surprised that you're going to run into some dryness inside the ball. Especially if the plant was too deep in the ground, that meant it had probably girdling, circling roots on the outside. That all seals the water off from getting in the ball. So you probe the top, you stick holes in that root ball, and you have the water running while you're doing that so you can actually see it running into the holes, not running off the top of the ball and over to the side and being around the ball, never going into the roots. It will not enter unless you do this that I'm talking about. Leave it dished and exposed. Now, the other thing is dig them up and reset them, but I think since they've been there a few years, it's better to just go down, expose all that stuff, prune away the bad stuff, leave the flare exposed, penetrate the root ball with some probing, make sure you see the water entering, and if you put a little Garrett juice in the water as it goes in, that's even better. That's the technique. And then the final thing is go to my website and look at what's called the sick tree treatment. It's under guides on the homepage, and it's also in the library, and apply the sick tree treatment to the entire area. You've done the most important first step of the sick tree treatment by doing what I just went through, exposing the flare and fixing the bad roots. Good luck, because there's a lot of you out there that have the same exact problems. Here's Bob listening on 660 in Dixon, Oklahoma. Hello, Bob.
Hello, Howard. I appreciate you taking my call. I just wanted to quickly see if you were familiar with Back to Eden method of gardening. It's totally organic.
I've been asked about it before, Bob, and I've looked at it. It looks fine to me. It looks like it's some kind of a layering technique. Is that basically what they recommend?
Yes, sir. I started out with just bare ground, sorry ground, but I'd have to add. It's a new place I bought up here a couple of years ago and trying to garden in it. Mm-hmm. I put down a layer of cardboard, 6 inches of compost, and 6 inches of wood chips on top of that, all natural native material.
Right.
I'm just in my first year right now, but I'm really excited about the way things are starting to look. I planted my first planting of onions yesterday. Couple of hundred of them, and when I dug down into it, it was real moist. It had already done a lot of decaying, and it's only been in about 6 months.
Okay. Yeah, I don't have a problem with that, Bob. My only suggestion is this. You might try another bed and see how they compare sometime. I like the native soil to be part of the bed preparation, so I like to till the compost into the native soil and the amendments like rock minerals and sugars and mix it together and then put the mulch on top of that. What you've done with the paper first and then the compost and mulch is you've sealed off the native soil down under this new stuff. You see what I mean?
Yes, sir, I do, and I understand that. And I've been told that over a period of time that cardboard stays so wet that it pretty well decomposes.
Let me put you on hold. Sorry, I got to run. I'll be right back. I'm Howard Garrett, back after this.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on the effectiveness of natural organic gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. Torx Programs works better, saves money, and helps us to enjoy healthier lives. We need your support. Go to TexasOrganicResearchCenter.org to donate. Stop the broad-scale use of toxic chemical pesticides and fertilizers. Donate at TexasOrganicResearchCenter.org today. That's TexasOrganicResearchCenter.org. Again, TexasOrganicResearchCenter.org.
Learn to live more natural and organic and be healthier by learning from and purchasing one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural, organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. You can learn about growing beautiful landscaping, delicious, healthy food crops, pet management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast to coast and border to border. You can learn about the books on DirtDoctor.com and find them in your favorite bookstore.
To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed and mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit DirtDoctor.com.
Black Cow, the mature manure Black Cow.
Black Cow composted cow manure is the perfect soil conditioner for our Texas soils. Black Cow enriches the soil with organic matter and helps retain moisture. Now is the perfect time to prepare fall flower beds and fall vegetable gardens. Getting the soil ready is your first step. Black Cow is fully composted, easy to use, and there's no bad odor. Fall is also a great time to set out new shrubs and trees. It's cooler and less stressful on new plants. Mix Black Cow with your native soil right in the planting hole. It's a natural fertilizer that releases nutrients slowly, the way Mother Nature intended. Look for Black Cow in the bright yellow and black bag at your favorite garden center or home improvement warehouse. For more information, check the website, Black Cow, spelled with a K.com.
Black Cow, the mature manure, Black Cow.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to DirtDoctor.com.
All righty, Howard back with you, and let's see, we were talking with Bob about back to Eden gardening. Bob, we got a little rush there at the end, and I wanted to spend some more time on this because it's interesting. If you have that paper on the bottom, it's going to eventually rot unless you put it too far down. If you get down below about 8 inches, there tends to be not enough oxygen for even paper to break down. So you get... I really like to have the bed not have a hard line between the seed bed and the soil underneath. I like to have it kind of blend together. But you were starting to say something about the way it was breaking down, so go ahead.
Well, as I understand it, that does break down over a period of time. Maybe it's not that deep. And I know that he has a video out, the guy that came up with this idea.
Right.
And he could take his hand and dig down into the soil about 3 feet. Now he's been doing this for 20 or 30 years. I don't know exactly when he started, up in Washington State somewhere.
Uh-huh.
But the ground that was underneath the compost wood chips had all assimilated, and it looked like perfectly good soil all the way down as far as he could dig with his hand.
Well, that fits with the theory that Ruth Stout used to use, too, that she believed that all you did was put mulch on the surface of the soil, and as it decomposed on the bottom layer of the compost, it formed, bottom layer of the mulch, it formed compost, fed microbes, and it just made the soil healthier and healthier. That will work, but the limiting factor on that is what the soil is like that you start with. And if you start with, like what a lot of my listeners have, really lousy soil or hard clay soil, that technique will work, but it takes about 4 years for it to turn into a very productive soil. Whereas if you till the ingredients into the native soil and blend it somewhat and then put that mulch, the shredded mulch, we're both saying the same thing, being up on the surface, it gives you production of whatever you're trying to grow the very first year. But you're about the third person that's brought that up. I'll watch the whole video. I have not done that, and see if there's something about what he's saying that I'm missing. But it sounds like, and from what you're saying, all it is putting down the paper, putting down compost, putting down mulch. That's the whole system, right?
That's right. That's all there is to it.
And I got no problem with any of those three. I only have a problem with, okay, fine, how long is it going to work? How long is it going to be before you're really productive in that area, and then that paper is broken down by the earthworms and microbes, and you don't have a layer at the bottom of your bed? And maybe there's an easy explanation for it. I'll just watch the video and see what I can learn.
Yeah, it's a film, and it's called Back to Eden Film.
Okay.
I can't recall the guy's name, Paul. I can't pronounce his last name.
Yeah,
a French name.
I can't either. I do remember Paul. Yeah. I'll check it out. I appreciate you bringing it up.
Okay, thank you very much, Art.
Thanks a lot. Yeah, there's a lot of different techniques. You know, there's lasagna. There's a lady that does one called lasagna gardening. It's the same kind of thing, those layers. And I just never have been a big layer guy. I'm not a big layer guy in compost. I think it ought to all be mixed together and, you know, homogenized and that sort of thing. But there may be something I'm missing. I'll look into it. I am definitely open-minded and willing to learn something new. Let's see what Garlic Mike is up to.
Hey, well, Howard, I've got a good one for you today.
Okay.
I heard recently on a radio show, just late night, I just happened to catch it, about a combination of delimonene, orange oil cleaning products in environments where they use ozone generation for air cleansing type effects,
mm-hmm.
large, big warehouses, airports, hotels, and the combination of the ozone and the delimonene together are forming formaldehyde compounds inside enclosed environments. And I wondered if you knew anything about that or
No, I ain't heard anything about it at all. So they're orange oil together with what?
Ozone.
With ozone. Where's the ozone coming from?
They have these electrostatic air purifiers.
Okay, I got you.
One of the byproducts of that is ozone generation in the air. And that running these orange oil, these actually, and help me if I'm not pronouncing this right, but terpene products.
Terpenes.
Orange oil.
Yeah, terpenes.
Okay.
That's a turpentine kind of a product.
Well, lemon, orange, and pine, all three produce these formaldehyde compounds, but the orange oil specifically was the highest concentrations.
Wow. When ozone comes in contact with it, that's
correct.
That's interesting. Yeah, that could be a little bit of a problem. Did you find a website on this, or what did you find?
It was, like I said, it was a radio show that I listened to, and then I just did a quick Google search, orange oil / formaldehyde, and half a dozen articles came up, easily accessible.
Okay, good. I'll look into it. Orange oil and formaldehyde. Okay. It's always something.
And then so looking forward to this torque program that you're going to initiate.
Yeah.
And you know, I personally have to be a part of the first class.
Well, it's going to be fun. It's been more difficult than I thought, because as I write the stuff, and then I go tape it, and then I go back and do the questions and do the outline. I've got to make all this stuff mesh together, and I'm not that organized, and so it's it's been a really interesting experience. It's made me look into a few things in a little bit more detail than I have before, but it's making me put it into a presentation where it's going to be really simple to understand, I think, but still go through a lot of detail. So it's I think you'll like it.
Well, I cannot wait, personally.
We'll keep you posted.
Thank you, Howard. Talk to you later.
Thanks,
buddy.
Mike.
All right, bye.
Let's go to Jan, listening on 660 The Answer in Dallas.
Good morning.
Hi, Jan.
Hi. I've lived here for about 12 years and have taken the regular soil. We're right in Euless, Texas by DFW, and added to it. I have my own compost, and I've added to it every year. But the thing that I have done is gone and got organic manure and put it down, thinking I was doing so good by using a lot of organic material. Well, I've had my soil tested at A&M, and it came back that it's very high in phosphorus. The number was 488. And they're saying there's really no way to get rid of that, that it's going to have to leach out and take time. But the suggestions were to add iron, zinc, and nitrogen. And I don't know where to get organic iron, zinc, and nitrogen, and if that's going to help, or where, I mean, it seems like the fertilizer stores have no idea how to do this, and I'm getting ready to plant my garden.
Okay. They don't need to have any idea about it, Jan, because it's all a bunch of malarkey that A&M's putting out. They've been talking about it now for some time. It's just revved up more lately. If there were really anything to that, the thousands and thousands of people out there that are using the basic organic program and using compost and organic fertilizers and all the different things that we recommend would be having plants die all over the place, and it wouldn't, you know, be working at all. This high level of phosphorus comes and this is one of the things I'll have in the school. I was just making a note to make sure I go back and talk about this in the kind of detail that we need in the course. But the soil test that A&M does not tell you anything about what's available to the plant. What it tells you is what is in the soil chemically. And there's even some question mark about that part of it. But they don't give you any information about what's available to the soil. So their soil test can show that you have real high phosphorus levels in the soil, and very, very little of it can be available to the plant because the calcium and magnesium level is messed up and not what it should be, which we fix with the organic program using the basic techniques and products that we talk about all the time, compost, rock minerals, and sugars release the phosphorus. Just to give you an example, a lot of times in Dallas, when a tree is in real trouble with some disease or some insect problem, the one time I ever recommend injecting anything in the tree is when a tree is not responding to hardly anything, and you can inject what's called phosphojet. It's a phosphorus injection that you inject right into the vascular system of the plant, and the phosphorus goes through the plant and makes phosphorus available that's not available from the soil where they've told you that there's too much soil. You see what I mean?
Right.
It's just this incredibly incorrect advice that they give about phosphorus being a problem and shouldn't be used. Now there is a reason why manure needs to be very carefully used on projects, and that's because of chemical herbicides that might be in them, chlorpyrifos and and pickler rim because they don't break down very much. They can cause all sorts of problems. But too much phosphorus is not really anything that you need to worry about. You can use the basic program that we're talking about with great success. If you want to double check it, you can send a soil sample to Texas Plant and Soil Lab down in Edinburg, Texas, because they give you a soil test reading that is completely different. It will tell you what's in the soil, but it will tell you, more importantly, what's available to the plant.
Okay. So should I go ahead and keep putting my compost in there this year and till it in?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Compost, lava sand, green sand, the whole ground cornmeal, the organic fertilizers, all those kind of things, and you'll put in a whole bunch of stuff to where the plant can have more than enough and can decide what it needs and get it and make it available to the plant. I'm going to put you on hold if you had something else because I got to run. I'll be back right after this.
XO Odor Neutralizer is the original all-natural odor eliminator air freshener. It's non-toxic, pH neutral, and no fragrances. If you want to get rid of big odors, but do it naturally and keep it safe for children and pets, then you've got to try XO Odor Neutralizer. XO has an exclusive offer just for Dirt Doctor listeners. An 8-ounce pump spray and a 16-ounce refill bottle for only $19.98 with free shipping. Go to exocorp.com/dirtdoctor or call 800-442-9696.
I have a great recommendation for container gardening. Smart Pot is superior in several ways. It's a fabric container that releases heat and enhances root structure because it's fabric. You can have a garden in any location. It's easy to carry, lasts for years, provides excellent drainage, and prevents soil compaction and circling roots. For more information or to find a store in your area, go to smartpots.com or call 800-521-8098. That's smartpots.com.
EcoSafe provides natural, organic pest control to take care of pests without using harmful, toxic products. EcoSafe offers complete commercial and residential pest management, flea and tick control, rodent control, and termite inspections and treatment. EcoSafe specializes in the use of Spectra products to eliminate pests naturally. EcoSafe is also offering franchise opportunities to the pest control companies. Call 1-855-825-2849 or go to EcoSafePest.com.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on the effectiveness of natural organic gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's programs works better, saves money, and helps us to enjoy healthier lives. We need your support. Go to TexasOrganicResearchCenter.org to donate. Stop the broad-scale use of toxic chemical pesticides and fertilizers. Donate at TexasOrganicResearchCenter.org today. That's TexasOrganicResearchCenter.org. Again, TexasOrganicResearchCenter.org.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
If you're like me, balancing my blood sugar is important to me for my health and wellness, especially as I get older. I pay attention to what I eat and try to exercise daily, but even that might not be enough. So each day I take Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance in conjunction with a healthy diet, regular exercise, and plenty of rest. Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is my trusted ally for healthy weight management, overall cardiovascular health, and immune function. Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is a synergistic combination of odorless kyolic aged garlic extract and herbs and nutrients shown to help maintain blood sugar levels. And it's made by our friends at Kyolic, the number one best-selling odorless garlic supplement on the market for over 40 years. So join the Kyolic team. I did.
Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is available at Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's Tree Health Plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. We chatted about the phosphorus thing a little bit more off the air, and there's two things I wanted to tell you before we go back to the phones. One is Malcolm Beck and I have both been writing about this now for several years, and it's on our website, dirtdoctor.com. One of the articles in the library is called A&M's 100 Fertilizer Push is Bad Science. We did a newsletter on it, and we've done several articles. We've got details about it in our book, The Organic Management for the Professional. We've written about it a lot, and I'm going to put quite a bit of emphasis when I do the fertilizing part of this online school, the Natural Organic Certification course. The whole thing that's so ironic is that if there is high levels of phosphorus in a soil, it's because of the synthetic fertilizer recommendations in a lot of cases. Whether it's available or not, and in most cases it won't be, because the fertilizer recommendations from the people that, badmouth organics and push the chemical way of doing things, The chemical fertilizers that they through the years have recommended has had phosphorus in it that is called triple superphosphate. Not to get too technical, but the original phosphorus source was called superphosphate, and it was pretty good phosphate, even though it was a synthetic form for the most part. It was a good form of phosphorus and it was available. Well, somebody came up with a way of extracting phosphorus from phosphate rock with different techniques, and I'll cover those differences and what happened in the course. But just basically, it was a different kind of way of doing it. So triple superphosphate was made easier. It was cheaper to come up with large volumes, and that's what went into synthetic fertilizer. Well, it's a horrible chemical to go in the soil because it's so bare. It's looking for things to join with and team up with, and it ends up tying up nutrients, making them not available to the plant, this triple superphosphate stuff. And so the very people that created the problem now are saying to fix the problem, let's not put out any phosphorus anymore at all. They don't even realize that it's not available to the plant and really not a problem. And I don't know, there's a conspiracy theory, I guess, there that it's a one way to slow down this organic growth. You know, one of the things they told her was to stop using compost and stop using manure products for 3 to 5 years. That is a common recommendation that they give to almost everybody that sends them a soil test nowadays from this part of the world. It's happening at some other universities to a degree, but not like it is here in Texas. More to come on that subject. Doris in Cedar Creek Lake next up. Hello, Doris. Hello, Doris. I snuck up on her, apparently. I mean, Mary Rose, see if she's still there. I'll talk to Betty next in Fort Worth. Hi, Betty.
Hi. It's great to talk to you today. I have this horrible problem. My home was semi-empty for about almost 2 years, mm-hmm. and we had a cat that we'd go feed, and but that was it. And in the meantime, now we're moving back, and we're checking the whole house and found out that small animals had eaten all the insulation in the attic and left poops and all this crap. So an animal company is coming to, you know, disinfect and put new insulation. And my concern was the yard, because I'm sure those, you know, whatever animals there were pooped in the yard. And we have a dog, and the animal company says there's no problem with the yard. You don't have to do anything. But I'm thinking, shouldn't we put maybe beneficial nematodes?
Yeah, that's what I'd recommend for sure. Put out beneficial nematodes just in case they brought you some fleas along for the ride.
Well, I was afraid of getting sick, the dog, from, I don't know.
I don't think that would be a problem. If you want to do the kind of the ultimate thing, you can go into our website and go to the library and look up the soil detox program.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And the soil detox program is basically it's a version of the sick tree treatment, but it includes some orange oil and some fine textured humate that'll help tie up things. And it'd be good for the soil and the plants that you're growing, even if there's not a toxic situation. But just to make sure, use the detox program, and it won't cost very much, and it will function as your first major fertilization of the year, and I think give you a little bit, a little bit more ease thinking about what might have happened.
Well, what about that? Won't hurt the nematodes? Do I do the detox first?
Yeah, put out the entire detox program, and then put out the nematodes, the beneficial nematodes, second.
Okay.
I'll talk to you off the air if you had something else. Beneficial nematodes and trichogramma wasp are what we recommend to all gardeners out there as things warm up and start to bud and leaf out, and be a great help to you with a lot of problems. I've enjoyed being with you today. A lot of great calls and questions and tips, as always. Enjoy your gardens out there. I hope you're having some decent weather wherever you are. And, of course, stay organic, and don't forget to feed the birds. We will continue to keep you posted about these new things we're doing, like this natural organic certification course and all the other kind of tricks and ways of going the natural organic way. See you next time.